We get things rolling in this hour two by welcoming back to the program and back to the studio from the Amira Astronomy Center at the University of Maine director Sean Lash with us. Sean, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Great Good to see you again, fresh from a trip to Mexico City. Tell us why.
Yeah, I was invited down to Mexico City to open a brand new planetarium as part of my duties with the International Planetarium Society. It was kind of a quick trip, flew out Saturday morning and came back Tuesday. The main event was on Sunday. There was a big opening there of a brand new 18-meter dome, and they had about 6,000 people. It was a pretty incredible event, and they definitely know how to throw a party, shall we say. Everything from, you know, they had a variety of dancers on stage to, of course, a whole variety of politicians got to eat lunch with the mayor down there. That was kind of fun, too. And
Well, welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah.
We tried to get you some Mexico City-like weather, but it only lasted one day.
Yes, exactly. Actually, it was cooler down there. I was surprised the day I got in. They had this huge hailstorm, and I actually have some pictures of one of my colleagues who scooped up enough of it to make a mini snowman.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing. They had like 15 minutes solid of hail, and you wouldn't expect it there. In fact, they were saying the weather has been very strange as of late.
Hmm. Well, some big things coming up at the Amira Astronomy Center and the planetarium as well, starting with a brand new program that you kick off tomorrow night entitled We Are Astronomers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so We Are Astronomers is a program that takes a look at the technology and a variety of ways that astronomers work today. A lot of folks think of astronomers as people who look through telescopes and, you know, sort of the guy with a pipe in a lab coat. And really, astronomers are much different today. Of course, they use a whole variety of tools, everything from space-based observatories like the Hubble telescope to the recent Gaia mission, which, of course, just did a huge data release a few weeks back, mapping our Milky Way in great detail, to things like the supercollider over in CERN. So the program takes a look at these different, you know, tools and the ways that astronomers work together and how they work in teams across the globe, and how they're connected in a variety of ways.
And also a part of it tomorrow night, a very exciting unveiling.
Yeah, we have from the Wireless Sensing Network, we have one of the UMAINE's payload packages that flew on the International Space Station. So back in December of 2016, UMAINE launched its first payload package to ISS, these wireless leak detectors, looking for pressurized leaks in the space station. And Dr. Ali Abedi was the sort of the, I guess you'd call it the spearhead or the primary investigator on that project, and worked with students, and they launched this up, and of course it collected data for several months and then has been shipped back to UMAINE. And it's going to be used in a variety of ways, not only for detecting leaks in pressurized structures, and there's inflatables that will be used to potentially go back to the moon and to Mars, but also it's been picked up here locally by some folks who are using it to now measure pressure leaks in things like propane tanks. So a lot of space-based technologies actually come back to benefit us here, you know, on Earth. And this is one of those examples that was of technology developed at UMAINE that now will be used both in space, but also back here.
Terrific. Well, yeah, we talked last hour with Terry Virts, who's a former commander of the International Space Station. I think people forget that there is space research going on every single day, and that's one example. What are some of the other things that are ongoing research that's being done by the ISS?
Well, a lot of it is in material sciences, and there's also new medicine. So one of the big things, of course, ISS has a main mission to improve life for us here on planet Earth, and they do a variety of research in microgravity environments, of course, that we can't do here on Earth because we don't have that sort of condition, you might say. And so there's a variety of different materials they work on and test. And, you know, like the wireless sensing, that's another type of thing that they were able to test up there, and new medicines. So, yeah, a variety of those different bits.
We're talking with Sean Lash from the Amira Astronomy Center. There is a launch coming up this weekend, a mission to Mars that takes off on Saturday with the InSight lander.
Yes. Yeah, that's a really neat probe. So we've sent a variety of precursor missions to Mars to hopefully prepare for sending humans in the future. But that's a long trip. You're talking 9 months one way to get there, a year and a half on the surface till Mars and Earth line up again, and then another, you know, 9 months back. So 3 years round trip. So we really need to understand Mars in great depth. And we've sent a variety of spacecraft to land or fly by or orbit the planet. The new InSight mission basically is going to stick a probe down into the surface of Mars, and it's going to be trying to measure the internal temperature and trying to help us understand the internal structure of the planet. So one thing about Mars that's dramatically different than the Earth is Mars doesn't have a global-wide magnetic field. So here on Earth, you have a magnetic compass, of course, even though a lot of folks don't use them currently. But, you know, that used to be the way to help you navigate. On Mars, there is localized magnetic fields. So if you had a magnetic compass, it would spin in all different directions. And there are these little magnetic fields all over the place. And they're not, like I mentioned, they're not global like we have here on Earth. So InSight's going to be trying to figure out why that is and trying to measure the internal temperature, which also gives us an idea of how geologically active Mars could still be, or if it's not so geologically active. I mean, we do know that over time, planets cool, and that tends to reduce the amount of activity that they do have. But we do see water on Mars, of course, in polar ice caps and in permafrost, and even some of the missions recently have seen flowing water in some of that, you know, topsoil of Mars as well. So it'll be looking for, you know, some of the answers to that question as well.
When we talk about manned space travel, is Mars about the last outpost we can get to with manned flight unless technology changes dramatically?
Yeah, and even if technology changes dramatically, I think it's long-term space travel has a variety of hazards, whether it be radiation, whether, you know, in terms of things of that nature. The human body, of course, tends to atrophy. Even the astronauts, you know, like you just talked with, they tend to spend about 2 hours a day having to exercise on special machines designed to act like there's still gravity just to keep their, you know, their bones and muscles and strong and things like that. So, but yeah, Mars is probably it. I mean, the moon, you know, we can get to the moon 3 days one way and, you know, stay for as long as we want, come back in 3 days. That's pretty easy. Mars is going to be more challenging. And beyond that would be extremely challenging. You know, most folks, of course, they see, you know, the Star Wars and Star Trek movies, which I grew up with and definitely love, but they think that, oh, it's easy, get in a spaceship and boom, you're there, you know, and they don't realize how distant things are. So even within our own solar system, when the last, you know, we had this space probe, New Horizons, which went to Pluto, and it took 9 years to get to Pluto, and Pluto is a fraction of the distance to the nearest star. So at that speed, it would take it about 20,000 years to get to the distance of Alpha Centauri. So pretty amazing.
Tomorrow night up at the Amira Astronomy Center, We Are Astronomers. Also on Sunday and continuing on Sundays, Earth, Moon, and Stars. Tell us about that.
So we have cosmic, we actually are switching over to cosmic colors.
Okay.
Yeah, so Earth, Moon, and Sun was our program this past month. And then cosmic colors is the one that is coming up. And that basically looks at how color is used. It's a children's program that explores how color is used in a variety of ways to help us understand our universe. So that's one of the fun programs for kids. So our Sunday shows always are sort of geared for families with younger children, and then Friday nights for general public.
And I was looking ahead, and I have to make a chance to get up there and see in June, because I'm fascinated by black holes.
Yeah, that program's really fun. It actually is a sort of a modern update. So we had a black holes program, and they actually did a 10-year anniversary update to it. So there's a variety of new information. And, of course, we will be talking about Stephen Hawking, who recently passed away, but it was known for his research on black holes and for Hawking radiation, which, of course, is one of the main things around black holes in terms of it actually being able to give off some radiation as well.
What is what's something that astronomers and scientists are working on now that the layman knows the least about when it comes to space and what we're learning about it?
Yeah, well, there's a variety of different topics out there. One, you know, I mentioned there's this Gaia mission, which just had a big data release back in the end of April. And that's mapping our Milky Way in great detail. And the data release had over, you know, about 1.7 billion objects in it, which is really amazing. And it's mapped the galaxy to a new level of precision. And because of that, they've discovered a whole variety of different objects, and objects that they've only known one or two, they've actually been able to see many more. Another really fun thing that's happening is that now, you know, of course, we've been hearing about exoplanets for a while. And in January, we had a show. It was great because each week there was new discoveries. Well, yesterday they announced that, you know, they've been starting to measure some of these atmospheres of the exoplanets, which is really amazing given how tiny these things are when you consider, you know, they're so far away, and then being able to measure the atmospheric composition. But they discovered helium in one yesterday, which is pretty incredible. And so, and you're going to start to see that actually that's one of the sort of the new technologies right now, is working on being able to look at these exoplanets and measure their atmospheric compositions and properties, and looking for, you know, signs of life and biological activity. So that will be interesting to see if we find it. But that's some of the newest and latest the things that are going on, you might say.
Well, it's fascinating work. Tomorrow night, we are astronomers at the Amera Astronomy Center at the University of Maine. Sean, we always love talking with you. Thanks so much for coming in, keeping us up to date on all that's going on.
Thanks so much for having me.